This is episode number 65, A Mindset for Self-Compassion. Welcome to the Mindset for Life podcast. This is Bethany, your coach, from drbcoach.com, coaching with power, purpose, and practical tools to help you show up with confidence. Welcome to Mindset for Life. Thank you for joining me today for episode number 65. We're going to be talking about self-compassion. I'm overjoyed to speak with you about this subject, especially because I myself have been in need of a lot of self-compassion lately. In my lifetime, there used to be this huge emphasis on self-esteem. I'm not sure if you were raised under similar circumstances or concepts, but during my younger childhood and early youth, this was a really big deal. Self-esteem was about having confidence, feeling good about yourself, and it was often thought to lead to happiness. Self-esteem, though, requires comparison. And really, self-esteem is about acknowledging all those positive things about yourself. Rarely does self-esteem include your negative attributes. In fact, we kind of want to diminish those and talk about only the things that are going right. In contrast, self-compassion is about acknowledging your humanness, the ability to be both strong and weak, and having compassion on yourself when those weaker times appear. This is such an interesting idea in terms of thinking in an outward way or with an outward mindset. Outward mindset thinking is something that I've thought a lot about in the last couple of years in particular. The idea of living with an outward mindset or outward way of being means that we see ourselves as just as good as other people, and we see ourselves and others as human beings, both with strengths and weaknesses, goals, objectives, needs, and challenges. In contrast, inwardness is seeing ourselves as the only thing that matters, the only person who matters, something like that. When we're inward and only seeing ourselves, we're actually kind of absorbed in self-judgment, or we might be promoting ourselves as being more important than other people. Think about the last time you had a degree of self-criticism in your mind about something. Maybe you were late to do something, you didn't get around to accomplishing a task you thought you should do, or maybe it was in relationship. If you're a parent, you might easily beat yourself up about not being a better parent, or criticize yourself for overdoing it just as much as underdoing it. Self-judgment comes around pretty easily for most of us. But when we're really looking at ourselves with a self-judgment mindset, criticizing what we've done, or in some way just looking at ourselves with this degree of judgment, we're seeing that we're inadequate, or even so far as to say worthless at times about whatever thing we were doing. If we're in a space of self-judgment or living inwardly and just looking at ourselves, we don't have any space left to see anybody else. There's no energy left. There's no space to feel emotionally connected to other people. And in a way, inwardness can be seen as self-focused and even to the extreme of just complete self-centeredness. This is such an interesting idea because also when I mentioned self-esteem is a concept I learned in my youth, this self-centeredness of criticizing oneself was also pretty common for me and for a lot of people around me. If we were to make a mistake, we might say, oh, that was stupid of me, or I should have been better, when really it's about what we did. I should have done better, or at least I tried and I need to go back and do it again or do it better. Think about this idea of self-criticism compared to self-esteem and self-compassion, and think about where you might be on those scales. Now, somewhere in our early lives, we learn to criticize ourselves or have this approach to our own behavior or even who we are. I'll tell you a little bit about mine. When I was a young person, I became a chubby kid, and so I weighed a lot more than the other kids in my class in elementary school. I can remember vividly being in line to go back in from recess, and I had a particular person in our class turn around and tell me that I shouldn't bother getting in line because I was so fat I wouldn't fit through the door anyway. That comment may sound pretty silly today, But to me, it was soul crushing. It hurt me deeply to have someone else in my peer group say such a harsh and critical thing to me. And I didn't want that to happen again. So I sort of launched the attacks on myself for many years after that. And regarding my appearance, my weight, or how I did on a project or anything at all, I had a lot of self-criticism. And I did it outside. I said it out loud to other people because I thought it would be funny and it would keep others from criticizing me instead if I preemptively criticized myself. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had a place of being your own critic, both in your mind and outside, so that you could protect yourself from others' criticism? If you've had that experience, it's very difficult to move from self-criticism to self-compassion. And one's self-esteem suffers, of course, because you can't see yourself in a very positive light when you're doing that kind of self-criticism. Self-compassion, on the contrary, is this place of treating yourself like you would treat a really good friend. You would probably never approach a really good friend and say those harsh things that person in elementary school said to me. Instead, you would be there for that friend, listen to them, and hear what they had to say without judgment. Sometimes there is a high standard that someone needs to meet. Even when that is happening and we're aiming for a high standard, criticism about one's character is rarely necessary or even appropriate. Self-help, self-kindness, self-compassion, these are all different things, but one thing I know is self-compassion is a mindset. It is an approach to viewing yourself in a way that is healthy and mentally strong. When you can be compassionate toward yourself, especially when you're not feeling at your best or you have failed, you give yourself permission to pick yourself up and keep moving forward. Gone are the days of stuffing your feelings, saying nothing, and just soldiering on. Instead, you can acknowledge that something really hurts or something is really difficult, and you can regroup and you can try a new strategy and move forward. Kristen Neff has a lot of research about this. She's done some great work in the area of self-compassion. In fact, she's pretty much the authority on this subject. I've read a lot of Kristen's work and I'm really impressed by it, but also I'm encouraged. She has some points here on the greatergood.berkeley.edu website that I would encourage you to read, and I'm going to just sum them up for you here. These are about the myths of self-compassion. So basically, they're about what self-compassion is not. And the first one she mentions is that self-compassion is a form of self-pity, which is absolutely not true. Self-pity would be feeling sorry for yourself. When you think about self-compassion, you're not feeling sorry for yourself. You're instead acknowledging difficult feelings with kindness. And that helps you to process them and let go of them more fully. I can relate to this idea where I would like to have had more kindness toward myself in certain situations in the past, but I can also think about the present and future and plan ahead to have that kind of kindness towards myself. And I'd encourage you to do the same. We each are unique human beings with talents, natural gifts, and abilities, and the potential to do much good in this world. There is no one who can replace you and the positive things you can do, the way you can connect with other people, the contributions that are unique to your intelligence and capacity. Because you are so unique, you owe it to yourself to let yourself let go of those failures of the past, those ways that you have let yourself down or failed to measure up to what you hoped or expected you would achieve. When you give yourself some self-compassion, you can look at those difficult experiences and difficult feelings you've had before, and you can work through them and let them go. You can acknowledge that you still are a beautiful human being who is totally unique. You still have much to do in this world and in this lifetime. You have a purpose, and you can avoid letting those failures and setbacks of the past hold you back by letting go of the self-judgment and self-criticism. You can also give yourself some encouragement and courage to move forward. There's a lot of research on this article I've linked in the podcast notes here about how ruminating on negative things from the past or failures really does create a negative self-image, a lot of self-criticism, and it puts you in a place of being completely stuck. And when you're stuck, there isn't a lot you can do to open up to who you really are and put that good into the world that you're so capable of doing. In essence, you become the one thing holding yourself back when you're criticizing and judging yourself. Self-compassion is really an antidote to that. It helps you to look at misfortune and negative events with some, not just compassion, but also reframing so that you can learn from it and be able to step forward into the unknown. The second myth Kristen Neff shares with us in this article is that self-compassion is weak. She actually wrote, self-compassion means weakness. Now, that is absolutely untrue. The example she shares with us is that a man went through his divorce and was very strong and very unemotional. He says he had to be hard as nails to get through the divorce with some semblance of self-respect. And in the end, this was what put him in a place of being stuck. He needed self-compassion to be able to acknowledge how painful the divorce was and to acknowledge that painful experience and then use that to become stronger in the future instead of just hiding it or stuffing it, as we say. Self-compassion can help you adjust to these kind of hard things that happen in your life, regardless of how big or small they are. When you think about taking the best out of a tough situation, it does not mean that you have to suffer to learn. What it means is your suffering is not in vain. You look at that experience and decide, what can you get from it that will fuel you in the future? What can make you stronger from what you just experienced, instead of just kind of sitting there wondering what to do? The third myth that was shared by Kristen Neff is self-compassion will make you complacent. Complacency is this place of kind of the neutral, lukewarm, in-between ambivalence. Basically, complacency is where you just don't care. There are no highs, no lows, and pretty soon you don't have any expectations at all. Self-compassion really is not about that. Instead, it's about a loving approach to yourself as a human being. What can you do to help and support yourself and believe in yourself? It's your job to believe in you, to know that you're capable and to encourage yourself to move forward. If you look towards all of the other people in your life and believe that it's their job to build you up, give you encouragement and support you, that actually puts us in a place of judging all those other people when they fail to measure up to what we expect. It creates future frustration. Believing in yourself and deciding to move forward with your own encouragement is the most powerful thing you can do to be a confident person, to be an independent person, and to really connect better with those people you love without expectations. Letting go of your expectations may sound like a strange thing to do, but that gives you the space to let other people show up just as they are and be loved by you. Self-compassion strengthens your accountability, and it also brings kindness into your life. You can acknowledge what went wrong, what went right, and helps you to move forward and do your best in new situations. Another myth about self-compassion is that it is narcissistic. This goes back to that idea of self-esteem that I mentioned earlier. Self-esteem requires us to be better than other people or to compare ourselves to other people. There's a lot of research on happiness that does discuss the concept that people compare themselves to others and that's what they base their happiness on. That's really not the best source of happiness. If you're going to base your comparison on other people, that means you always have to be better than someone else to be happy. What you can do instead is focus on well-being, wellness, mental well-being, and your quality of life compared to what you'd like it to be, not compared to someone else. So self-esteem can sometimes be problematic. In contrast, self-compassion is totally different. It's part of psychological well-being, but it's not just about your self-worth being positive or compared. It's not a judgment. It's a way of looking at yourself with acceptance, whether you fail or succeed. Self-compassion is a place where you can be strong instead of having to base that on the circumstances. Now think about this other idea. Many of us think that caring for ourselves or being compassionate towards ourselves is selfish. In fact, that is the opposite of the truth. We must take care of ourselves and have self-compassion, or we have absolutely nothing to give to anyone else. Self-compassion is really a basic to having the energy and time to be kind to ourselves and care for ourselves in a healthy way. When things go poorly, self-compassion is a way to look at ourselves and provide encouragement for the future. Again, If we look at everyone else and expect it from outside of ourselves, we're going to be disappointed, but we're also going to be judging all those other people for what they're not doing for us. I love the way Kristen Neff closes her article with this comment. She says, "Think about the times you've been lost in the throes of self-criticism. Are you self-focused or others-focused in the moment? Do you have more or fewer resources to give others? Most people find that when they're absorbed in self-judgment, they actually have little bandwidth left over to think about anything other than their inadequate, worthless selves. In fact, beating yourself up can be a paradoxical form of self-centeredness. In essence, we must be kind to ourselves. We need to be in a position of treating ourselves as we would treat those people in our lives we most love. With kindness, with patience, with compassion. When we can do that, then we can have a mindset that is whole and that is open to give love and acceptance to other people as well. I recently shared this idea with someone that when we behave like a harsh taskmaster to ourselves, like we expect ourselves to work more than normal work hours, harder than a normal person would do their job, or be in some way perfect compared to other people, when we have these impossible expectations, we give others the silent message that we expect them to do the same thing. When in reality, most of us would say that we don't actually expect anyone else to be perfect, nor do we expect them to slave away 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in their jobs. Why would we ever expect that of ourselves? When we look at the way we treat ourselves and we understand that others silently get the message, that's how we are expecting them to be. This is another great way to let go of self-criticism and perfectionism and all those things that hold us back and keep us enslaved to the negative lines of thinking and open ourselves up to a little more compassion, a little more patience, to give ourselves a little bit of space to be human. This is different than cutting ourselves slack and not holding ourselves accountable. In fact, self-compassion is about accountability as well as recognizing your own humanness, accepting it, supporting yourself, and moving forward. I would like to say self-compassion to me is even more about holding a high standard for yourself and acknowledging how well you measure up to your own expectations, but as well, it's about looking at those expectations and determining whether they're realistic. This can help you kind of guard against perfectionism and also keep setting realistic goals that are meaningful and valuable to you. Going back to this concept that when I was younger, there was a lot of self-criticism in my life that I chose for myself to kind of protect myself from young people in my life who were just not very kind. We've all had those people in our lives, and if you're a person with a lot of self-criticism in your mind, it's likely that you experienced that in your younger life as well. Well, now is the time to let it go, to realize that those people who were critical of you were just as human as you are, and we want to be compassionate toward them and let it go, as well as being compassionate towards ourselves and letting ourselves move forward, gain new confidence, and be able to pick ourselves up anytime we fail. Now, I'm not suggesting that anyone who suffered abuse just let it go. Those are definitely things that should be dealt with and handled appropriately, and often therapy or counseling can be a good support for that. But developing self-compassion now and in the future can also be developed through some more realistic and positive framing of things, positive self-talk, and other exercises. Kristen Neff has a great website with, I believe, 8 or more exercises there that can help guide you through this process. Or you might consider working with a coach. A professional coach can help take you where you are and help you just turn it up a notch and make it even better. And who wouldn't want that, right? We're all on the journey to becoming even better versions of ourselves. So I hope you'll think about self-compassion, cultivating this for yourself during the next week, and treating yourself as you would treat a good friend. Thank you for being with me today for this journey and talking about self-compassion as a mindset. And I wish you all the best this coming week, becoming the best version of you.
This has been a podcast called Mindset for Life by Bethany at drbcoach.com. To find me on the web, you can visit my blog or my website at www.drbcoach.com. That's drbcoach.com.